Blog Talk Radio.
How can I, your servant, talk to you, Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. You are the vine, God, and we are the branches. You washed and guarded every breath I took. Emmanuel, our God, who's with us, leading God us through your word, breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup.
This is Nancy Baxter welcoming you to Let's Talk Radio for Women and our study of the fifth Psalm. Stay where you are and we'll be right back after these short messages. I love to study the Bible with a group of Christian women, especially that type of study where we come together and share not only our answers to questions, but also the concerns of our lives and thoughts and desires of our hearts. If you enjoy this type of Bible study group, then we invite you to join us for one of our dynamic conferences. There's one coming up soon. Go to our website, houseofjoyministries.com. Come on. You know you want to come, and we sure want you to be there.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Have you always wanted to memorize scripture, but just didn't know where to start? Nancy Baxter's book, Hid in My Heart, will not only get you started, but will guide you through an entire year of memorizing scripture. Hid in My Heart gives you 365 verses and a system to learn a verse each day, each week, or even each month. No matter which method you choose, you are memorizing scripture. Memory work is not just for kids. Hid in My Heart. Available now at houseofjoyministries.com.
You're listening to Let's Talk Radio for Women, a presentation of House of Joy Ministries. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Psalm 5 is a Psalm of David. The instructions say that it is to be sung upon Nahaloth. Well, we don't know what Nahaloth is, but some believe this means the wind instruments. We know that Neganoth, used in Psalm 4, meant the stringed instruments, so we're guessing here as to the meaning of Nahaloth. But many believe that it does mean the wind instruments. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. In verses 1 through 3, we see that David is praying to Jehovah God, the all-sufficient God, the name above all names. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now David says in verse 3 that he will call upon the Lord first thing in the morning. No time will pass until he communes with God. We should take note of this. David, a man after God's own heart, is saying that the first thing he will do every day is call upon the Lord. He doesn't wait until he gets a cup of coffee in him, until the kids get off to school, until he gets in his car and out in rush hour traffic. He feels it necessary. He finds encouragement and peace in going to the Lord first. David prays that God will hearken to his cry. This describes his fervent, serious pleas to God. When we don't take time to pray, when we resort to quick, meaningless rote, is it because we have no concept of the true power of God? Do we not believe that this is the God who can answer, who can take care of our problems? Do we not believe that he will answer, that he will change our situation? Why do we fail to cry out to the Lord first thing in the morning? David commits himself to God, telling God, I will pray to you and to you alone, regardless of what anyone else does. I will pray to you alone. And I will do it every day. And I will do it before I do anything else, because I cannot wait to talk to you. You are on my mind and heart when I go to bed at night, and you are on my mind and heart when I get up in the morning. Verse 3 says, you will hear in the morning. That's not to say that God doesn't hear our prayers all day long, so why does he say he will hear in the morning? God responds when our prayers are fervent. Scripture says that the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. When we awake from our sleep and the first thing on our mind is to meet with God, to commune with him, to share the deepest desires of our heart with him, then our prayer is fervent. Then our prayer is important to us. And then we are acknowledging our love for God, our dependence on God, and our faith in God. And these are the kinds of prayers God answers. Psalm 66:18 says, that if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear our prayers. In verses 4 through 6 of our psalm, David says to God, and let's read those verses again, verses 4 through 6. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. He is acknowledging the holiness of God. We know that God is love and God is merciful, but we also know that God is just. We cannot come to God with sin in our heart, with no thought or intent to change that situation. We must come to God in repentance and with Jesus in our heart. None of us No man lives above sin. Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know, we're all the same, and we're all going through life, and we're all going to die. We have few days on earth. If we lived to be 100 years old, we would know that we had lived a long, long time, way more than we're ever promised. But yet, it wouldn't be long enough, would it?
Yes.
In the scheme of things, 100 years would be a very short time. And we also know that while we're on this earth, we will have trouble. Now, just as assuredly as God is holy and good, he hates sin. He will not hear a prayer that comes from a heart of iniquity. There are those evil, sinful people who prosper. Not every wealthy, successful person is a good person. It's important for us to understand that this is not always God who set them up to succeed. The Bible says that it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Good things come to evil men, and bad things sometimes come to good men. Time and chance happens to all men. Now that's according to Scripture. Time and chance happens to all men according to the Scripture. Let's read from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. You know, sometimes it doesn't make sense to us why some people succeed and some people don't. He wasn't smart enough to make that much money. She wasn't pretty enough to win the contest. He wasn't talented enough to get the recording contract. Sometimes we're just in the right place at the right time. Time and chance happens to all of us. Now, there's laws and there's principles put into place. If we had invested in Apple computers or Walmart, whether we were righteous or evil, we were going to make money. Just because we had the good sense to make that investment, or because we just decided on the spur of the moment we're going to go invest in something. If it happened to be those two companies, we would make money. Some people have a talent to sing. Well, some people have a talent to make money. It just comes naturally to them. Now, I'll tell you this, one sure tip about the stock market. If you ever hear that my husband and I have invested in a particular stock, that's a sure signal to you to stay away from it. Every stock in which we have invested has taken a giant leap into the trash can, even those that just couldn't miss. In our world, if you do certain things, then certain things will happen, whether we are evil or righteous. But not everything that happens is God's will. The senseless murder of those children in that elementary school was not God's will. The thousands of abortions performed every year is not God's will. Terrorist attacks in the name of Allah are not God's will. Don't blame everything on God. God will not even hear our prayer if we regard iniquity in our hearts. Verse 6 says, thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. God shall destroy them that speak leasing. This means lies. God will destroy the liars. This verse goes on to say, the Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Can it be any plainer about God's attitude toward evil men? He is going to destroy them. instead of having your feelings hurt, instead of feeling sorry for yourself because you see evil people prosper, know that their prosperity is short-lived. Know that God has promised to destroy them. If that doesn't do it for you, then you need to check your heart. Do you really believe that God will do what he says? The attitude of the psalm changes in verse 7. David says, "But as for me, this is what I am going to do." He is forgetting about the evil men. He is forgetting about his enemies. He says, "I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship." David says, "This is what I am going to do. My enemies can do what they're going to do, but I'm going to worship the Lord. They're not going to keep me from going to his house. They are not going to keep me from worshiping him." When we let our enemy stop us from going to our church, when that woman that gets on our nerves who has said hateful, biting things behind our back, when we refuse to go to our church because of her, when we keep from communing with God because of her, then we have let her win. Now, we have done this, not our enemies. God will bless us if we maintain a righteous heart toward him. There is no way to lose if we maintain a righteous heart toward God. But, you know, we can't become like our enemies. We can't dwell on our enemies. We are to dwell on God. David prays in verse 8 for God to lead him in righteousness because of his enemies. Let them see me worship you. Let them see my righteousness. Let it confound them. Let them say, "How can David maintain this righteous life when he has trouble on every side?" Let it heap coals upon their heads. They are liars. They speak flattery, but they mean to destroy. They are full of deceit, and they have no knowledge of God or his righteousness. We have all had experience with those who patronize us. I'm not talking about a good old-fashioned compliment, but those who will just go on and on in order to gain our confidence for their own purposes. They will tell us we are the best. They will tell us we are wonderful. They will tell us we are smart. We are beautiful. Whatever. Not only is it insulting for them to think that we are so stupid that we don't know if they're buttering us up to get something from us, they're just plain speaking lies. They are not our friends. Their throat is an open sepulcher. David says that they have rebelled against God. You see, the problem with those who inflict hurt upon you, those who are your enemies, their problem is first and foremost that they have rebelled against God. The hurt they dish out to you is simply a manifestation of the rebellion in their hearts.
They're
not communing with God. They are not worshiping God in their hearts, because if they were, they would not do those things they are doing. They are to be pitied. The Bible tells us to pray for our enemies. Now, this is why. They have rebellion in their hearts. God is not blessing them regardless of how successful they seem. God is not a liar. He says he will not bless them. Believe him. Don't make him out to be a liar, or you have a problem in your own heart. David ends this psalm with instructions for those who love the Lord. In verse 11, he says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." And here's our hope. Here's the promise upon which we can hang our hats. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor when you encompass him as with a shield.
I asked Roseanne yesterday because Roseanne asked.
Satan will be right back.
Bible Quiz Olympics, an exciting fellowship study program for young people. Designed for grades 1 through 12, Bible Quiz Olympics is a great way to learn Bible facts and teach students how to study the Bible. And Bible Quiz Olympics is fun. Each semester closes in competition between Quiz Olympics teams. Students compete in Bible trivia and challenging games. It's tons of fun. Go to houseofjoyministries.com for more information. Bible Quiz Olympics. Because everybody's a winner who studies God's Word.
That's our study for today. Join us for other Bible studies on Blog Talk Radio and visit our website to access the full line of our study guides and programs for women and children. We hope you'll join us for one of our conferences, too. Get the details on houseofjoyministries.com.
How can I, your servant, talk to you, Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. You are the vine, God, and we are the branches. You washed and caught every breath I took. Emmanuel, our God, was with us, leading God us through your word. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill